Hare Krishna. So today morning we will discuss important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually the seed for the future verses. This chapter, 7th chapter of the 3rd canto, is the seed from which much of the conversation in the subsequent sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam is going to proceed. As we know, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a book of question answers. So there are nested conversations. Those of you who have studied computers know about nested loops. So one loop inside another. So there are nested conversations. So the outermost nest is Suta Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishi. Then another nest in within that is Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And within that, there is a nest of now here Vidura and Maitreya. And within that, there will be further a nest of Devahuti and Kapila. And in this way, the conversation goes into greater and greater depth. So the chapter started with a series of questions by Vidura. In essence, he asks, how is it that if the Lord is situated in the heart of all living beings, then why are the activities of the living beings unfortunate? Why do the activities lead to misery and misfortune? And hearing this question, it is described that Maitreya is initially a little surprised. But then he answers the question. Maitreya is surprised how Vidura can get a question like this. Indirectly what he is saying is the Lord to be blamed for the unfortunate and miserable activities of the living entities? And the Lord, Maitreya replies that actually it is the Maya of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is beyond Maya, but it is the Maya which causes the living entities to engage in unfortunate activities based on their own desires. And he gives a series of answers in 3-4 verses. And after that, Vidura says, now by your clear answers, all my doubts are dispelled. And then he's speaking further. So this verse is 19. So 17, 18, 19, 20. They constitute one thought unit, which basically talks about how to rise from knowledge to realization through service. So that will be the theme of our class today. From knowledge to realization through service. So we'll go over these verses one by one. So 17th verse is quite a well-known verse. Yascha murhatamo loke, yascha buddhe param gata. He says, ta ubhav sukham edete, klishyatya antarito jana. He says, there are two kinds of people who in this world are happy. Yascha murhatamo loke, those who are completely in ignorance, they are happy. And yascha buddhe param gata, those whose intelligence has transcended this material existence. It's a very interesting phrase. It is not that those who have transcended material existence. Yes, they may be physically still in material existence, but their intelligence has transcended. Yadate moha kalinam buddhi vyatitarishyati tadagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in verses 52 and 53, while describing the symptoms of a self-realized person, Krishna says his intelligence has gone beyond the forest of delusion. So saying, yascha buddher param gataha, whose intelligence has transcended. So what happens to such a person? Ta ubhav sukham ehete. These two people are happy. One who is completely in ignorance and one who is completely transcendental. And klishyatya antarito janaha. Antarito means those who are in between. Klishyatya. They suffer. So I used to always wonder, how can somebody in ignorance actually be happy? The Bhagavatam is saying that these people are happy. Sukha utam. So, I got some insight during the recent Cricket World Cup. So, you know, actually if you look at people, they're happy. They're so happy that they are ready to sacrifice their night's sleep and spend their money blowing crackers throughout the night. So, they are celebrating. So, actually, they are we have nothing to do with our body and we have nothing to do with our nation. And those who are playing for the nation have very little to do with the nation also. You know, they are just interested in money. But look at the series of misidentifications. The first is misidentification with the body. Second is misidentification with the country. Third is misidentification with the game, which is actually not even born in this country. It has come from America. And fifth is a misidentification with those who are playing a game which has come from abroad and who are playing it not even for the love for nation, they are playing it just for money. So, it's a series of five misidentifications, one by one. Yascha moolatamo loke. So those who are in ignorance like this, they are blissful. Ubhav tam ubhav sukham edhete. And then those who are transcendent. Now we may not have transcended all material attachments, but many of us have to some extent become indifferent to cricket. So we don't bother about it. Same time the cricket matches were going on, there were so many wonderful programs in the temple. Devotees were coming and participating, chanting, dancing, singing. Not bothering at all. They are happy in their own world. But klishyatya antarito janaha. So some of us may still have some residual attachments. And then wondering, what is the score? India-Pakistan match. Who won? Who lost? And there is anxiety. So one student recently asked me this question. We say that all the happiness of material world can be summarized as ahara nidra bhaya maitri. So where does the happiness of cricket come in ahara nidra bhaya maitri? So eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. So where does cricket come among these? So I was just traveling from one place to another. So there were television sets everywhere. So I just happened to see once one cricket match. And if you look at the players, it was probably the end of a particular match, the death overs as they call it. The phrase was death overs, as if you are going to die if you lose the match. They call it this. So, if you look at the faces of the people, there is so much tension, so much fear. So actually the whole cricket is nothing but bhaya. So you create so much tension, so much anxiety, so much pressure. They don't use the word anxiety or tension or fear, they use the word pressure. And they say those who can't cope with the pressure, they call them chokers. Chokers, but all of them are actually jokers. Because they are taking such a small and insignificant thing so seriously. But the point is, see, all the material pleasures are actually not pleasures. They are simply reliefs from a self-created misery. Just like when a person engages in sense gratification. It's not that sense gratification gives happiness. Actually, when a person becomes lusty, lust creates agitation of the mind. And when one fulfills the lust, there is just a temporary relief from that self-created agitation of the mind. And actually, that agitation is so severe, here the word uses tivraha. It's very intense. So, bhakti is also tivraha. But material life also, the agitation is very tivraha. It's very intense. And that agitation creates so much anxiety, so much misery, that when one actually engages in the pleasure, the relief from anxiety that one experiences, people call it as enjoyment. So, same way with respect to a sports like cricket, people create so much bhaya. They don't use the word bhaya, they use anticipation, excitement, thrill, all these positive sounding words. But the fact is the same. So they create bhaya, and when they get relief from the bhaya, they call that as great pleasure. And of course, after they get, if they don't get relief from that bhaya, they are going to suffer all the more. So actually, if you see cricket, World Cup, objectively also if you look at it, there are 14, 16 countries, whatever countries are there. Out of them, only one country is going to be successful. So that means, out of the 16 countries that are participating, 15 countries are going to be miserable. So it's actually producing misery, not happiness. And so for most people, that bhaya leads to misery. For some people, whom the bhaya leads to happiness, actually, that happiness creates a greater bhaya. Because say, next time when India is going to face the World Cup, there is so much more pressure. Because you are the defending champions. See the word also, defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maitulam cha. You know, defense. So as soon as we acquire something, we have to defend it, and that defense creates anxiety. So actually those who are completely in the materialistic conception of life, they feel as if this is pleasure. They feel as if it is pleasure. But that pleasure is like a bubble. And the bubble, it bursts sooner or later. When it bursts, there is no more pleasure. So although the Bhagavatam is saying both these are ways of happiness, but both are not equivalent ways of happiness. Why? Because one happiness is very temporary. whereas the other happiness is eternal. And therefore now, after telling this verse, that's why if you, like many times people say that, okay, you people enjoy chanting Hare Krishna, we enjoy going to movies, you know, we go enjoy watching cricket. So you enjoy your way, we will enjoy our way. Why bother? Yes, we can all say like that. But the problem is that one enjoyment is very temporary, the other enjoyment is eternal. That's why although the Bhagavatam says that yes, these two kinds of people are happy, the Bhagavatam doesn't say that, okay, you stay in the, those people who are ignorant, they should stay in ignorance. With Maitreya doesn't, Udura doesn't say that, okay, I'll stay in ignorance. What does he say? Now I will try to rise to knowledge. So the next verse which was discussed yesterday, he says, Arthabhavam vinishchitya, artha abhavam vinishchitya. He says, vinishchitya, I have understood, I have ascertained, artha abhava, that there is no meaning to this material existence. Pratitasya natmanaha. Pratitasya means that which appears to be, pratithona, apparent. Na atmanaha, it has no connection with the atma. So this particular phrase, pratitasya natmanaha, is referring to an earlier example given by Maitreya Rishi. He says that sometimes in a dream a person sees that somebody is attacking him and he comes with a whirling sword and thak, chops off his head. And he's watching, his head is being chopped off. Now if your head is being chopped off, how can you watch? Who is watching? That means that actually pratitasyanatmanaha, we have nothing to do with this body. So he says, yes, I have intellectually understood. Arthabhavam vinishchitya pratitasyanatmanaha. But although I have intellectually understood it, how will I realize it? Tam chapi yushmacharan sevaya paranude. Tam, that truth, yet sevaya yushmach. So, by the service, paranude. Paranude means I will give up this material attachment and I will realize this truth. So, actually he says, yes, I have intellectually understood it, now I want to realize it. How will I realize it? Through service. And that service, how it brings about an effect, is described in today's verse. Yet sevaya bhagavataha. But interestingly, he is telling that I will serve you. Vidura is telling that not that I will serve the Supreme Lord. Although Vidura had a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord, he is saying I will serve you. A spiritual master like you, when a sincere student or disciple serves him, then one can become freed from illusion because one gets realization of the absolute truth. So, yat sevaya bhagavataha. So, here the word yat is like a adjective, so or a preposition, pronoun. It refers to the spiritual master who is talked about in the previous verse. There is no reference to the spiritual master in this verse. Bhagavataha. So, by service to the spiritual master, what happens? To that Supreme Lord Bhagavataha, Rati Raso Bhavetivraha. Rati Raso, strong attachment develops to him. And what is the characteristic of that Supreme Lord? So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur beautifully elaborates in this verse and he says, Kutasthasya Madhudvishaha. So Kutastha. Stha means to be situated. Kuta means tower. So just like if a bird is situated high up on top of a tower and all that is happening below, it doesn't affect him. You just observe it from a distant perspective. So kutastha means one who is situated on a tower. So that refers to a liberated soul. One who is situated at a high level and is not affected by the ups and downs of this world. So this the liberated soul is kutastha and the Supreme Lord is the original kutastha. He's not just the original kutastha, he's the eternal kutastha. He's the eternally transcendental person. Kutasthasya madhudvishaha. Madhudvisha refers to the killer of the Madhu demon. So, now we know at the start of the creation, there are different versions of the story, but a common thread in all the stories which happened in different millennia is that Madhu clouded the intelligence of Brahma and he stole away the Vedas. So, after Brahmaji was born, at that time, he did the tapasya, he got the knowledge, and as he was trying to apply the knowledge, what happened? He stood against Madhu and Kaitab king, and it was a high-tech robbery. Why high-tech robbery? Because the Vedas were not written as books. The Vedas were actually in the form of subtle sound vibrations in the mind of Brahmaji. But Madhu and Kaitab were such powerful demons that they could influence the mind. And by influencing the mind, they stole away that knowledge from Brahmaji. And Brahmaji became panic struck. And if that knowledge is stolen away, the whole purpose of creation will be defeated. So immediately, the Lord came over there. And there was a big fight. So eventually, the Lord killed and delivered the two demons. So among all the names that could be used for the Supreme Lord, Madhudvishaha is used. Why? Because here he is talking about how our ignorance has to be destroyed. So, kutasthasya, you are eternally transcendental situated. You never come under ignorance, my dear Lord. Not only do you never come under ignorance, those who may come under ignorance due to the influences of demoniac personalities like Madhu, you destroy those demoniac influences and you free your devotee from ignorance. Madhudvishaha. Now, Madhudvishaha refers to, Dvisha means dvesh or envy. So Madhudvisha means one who is envious of Madhu. Now can the Lord be envious of anyone? The Lord loves everyone. The Surdam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the well-wisher of all living entities. Then why is it used Madhudvisha? So actually Madhu is the name of the body of a demon who has a soul. Or who is a soul. And in that demoniac body, he is doing sinful activities. And that's why the Lord doesn't hate the soul of the demon Madhu. He hates the demoniac personality. And that's why he doesn't kill the soul. He actually kills the body which impels a person to do sinful activities. Sometimes we may wonder, in modern society there is this whole idea that we should not kill anyone. You know, Buddhism spread because of its appeal of non-violence. And its influence has spread far beyond the number of people who have converted to Buddhism. So non-violence has become a very appealing ethic for most people today. And they say, even if somebody has killed somebody, you know, you should not hang him. You can just put him in jail. You should not kill him because we cannot give life. We cannot take life. That's fine, but tell that to him. Tell that to the person who already took life. Isn't it? So now what happens, this non-violence, when we say that, okay, somebody has committed murder, don't kill him. Then if you are not going to kill him, you have to keep him in jail. And who is going to maintain him in the jail? The tax paid by the law-abiding citizens. So what happens is, if we don't have capital punishment, the law-abiding citizens' money is used to maintain the lawbreakers. Now somebody may have murdered a family member and they work out that are paying to maintain the burden of life. It is also an absurd. Therefore, the whole thing is the treatment of killing, what does it do? It's a treatment. And although we say that actually it is the soul who has desire, not the body. But the body creates certain pushings. The body creates certain pushings. So in a demon's body, normally the pushings are demoniac. And that's why when somebody is killed, he is liberated from that body. The soul still has this karma, but if he gets a purer body, then the sinful pushings are no longer there. So every body creates a particular kind of pushing. And of course, pushing is not the same as forcing. Pushing is not the same as forcing. The body pushes in a particular direction, but we can counter-push. And that counter-pushing ability develops by our spiritual advancement. In modern science, because of genetics, they say that just people are programmed by their genes to behave in a particular way. So if somebody is a murderer, you know, by his genes he is angry. What can you do about it? No, by his genes, yes, he may be short-tempered, but he can't be forced. He's not forced. He has the free will by which he can counter-push. Yes, when people come to teenage years, the hormones start getting secreted and people start feeling emotions and pullings, pushings, which they never felt before. But if everybody started acting according to their pushings and pullings, then there will be complete chaos in society.
So civilized human society means that we counter those machines. In fact, animals are completely governed by their instincts. Their instincts push them to act in a particular way, and they are supposed to act. So, you know, if a cat sees a rat, cat cannot think, today is Ekadashi. The cat is just pushed. It cannot counter push, it just acts upon it. But human beings can. And to the extent we think that we are just products of our biological pushings, to that extent we are intellectually justifying our degradation to the animal level. We are not only degrading to the animal level, but we are intellectually justifying our degradation to the animal level. So we can all counter push. And the whole process of spirituality, especially bhakti, is meant to develop the counter push. So when the counter push becomes stronger and stronger, then we go beyond our conditionings. So here he is telling, Paranude. Paranude means I will go beyond, I will break free from all these attachments. How? Sevaya aham. By service I will break free from all these attachments. So in the purport, Sevaya Prabhupada explains that actually this Madhudvishaha, he says, Prabhupada says, the Lord is the enemy of the Madhudinu, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. So what is the suffering for a pure devotee? Just now, a few verses ago, it was said that a pure devotee has no sufferings. But here it is said the sufferings of a pure devotee. Actually, in the early days of our movement, some devotees started circulating. Srila Prabhupada has said that all of us who have come to his lotus feet are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, who have been sent specially to assist in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So now the devotees were a little bewildered. Eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. You know, we used to take drugs, we used to do this. How could we be eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya? So then, some of the devotees went and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, are we scorn devotees, the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya? So Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes. And you know, the devotees didn't know what to say, what to think. And so Prabhupada paused. Sometimes Prabhupada would pause, and the pause would be pregnant with meaning. And then Prabhupada smiled. He said, everyone is. Everyone is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, what Srila Prabhupada meant is that actually none of us should become proud of our special position. Now it is true that surely Lord Chaitanya sends some assistants to assist Srila Prabhupada. But actually a devotee never thinks that I am special. Prabhupada never, generally speaking, spoke that, you know, I've been sent from the spiritual world. He said, just I was instructed by the spiritual master. So here is the suffering of a pure devotee. In one sense, all of us are pure devotees. But when we are covered by ignorance, then we suffer. And even a pure devotee like Brahmaji, when he is covered by ignorance, he suffers. So what did the Lord do? The Lord came and killed Madhu and Sudhana. So the Lord is not envious of anyone. The Lord loves everyone. But if we see that certain people have certain tendencies which come from their body, then the Lord may kill that person. Now in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, he will not kill, but you know, he may give some devotee some terrible disease like cancer, which will be terminal. They wonder, why is God doing such a thing? Serving the Lord, why is he doing such a thing? But actually that is also meant for purification. So Madhudvishaha, and Rati Raso Bhavet Tivraha. So Chakravarti Pad explains, Tivraha. This Tivraha means intense. So he says, that actually when the rati, when the attraction to the Supreme Lord develops, then that attraction is so intense, so one-pointed, that it blinds one to all other material and spiritual pleasures. It's very interesting. Chakravarti Pada says, it blinds one. A devotee becomes blind to material pleasures. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Jai Jai Goswami's Gita Govinda being sung. You know, it was a woman singing and he was a sannyasi. And he could not go near a woman, but he was blind in the material life. He just ran straight. So who is this person who is singing the
Keith going so sweetly and reminding me of my beloved Lord. He went, wanted to go and embrace that person. Just as when Pratap Rudra started singing the Gopi Geet at the Jagannath Vallabh Gardens, at that time Jagannath Mahaprabhu was so grateful. He says, Bhuvita Jana, you are the great benefactor because you are reminding me of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there in the Jagannath Vallabh Gardens was blinded to the fact that this was a king. And he was a king, a materialistic person whom normally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strong about avoiding. He went and embraced him. So what happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly? He was blinded to the fact that this was a woman. And the sannyas courts don't allow him to not hear a woman, what to speak of, touching a woman. But Govinda went and told him, this is a woman. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his own consciousness. The devotee may be transcendental, but he has to, in normal situation, behave in a way which is conducive for the development of, for the setting the good example for society. So, about a dozen years ago, when the Bhaktivan Hospital started, many devotees were there in that hospital. So, Radhanath Maharaj gave a talk at that time. He said, for the smooth functioning of this hospital, we request all devotees to conduct themselves in the mode of goodness, irrespective of whether they are below it or above it. So, you know, we may be transcendental, but we cannot act transcendental if we want to set a good example in society. So, in fact, that was one of Krishna's arguments to Arjuna also. Even if you think that you are transcendent, yes, to Atmadeva Syad Atmatruptasya Manava, even if you are self-satisfied, then still you act to set an example for others. In 3.17.18.19, Krishna acknowledges the possibility that somebody might be transcendental, but still he should act in an exemplary way. But the point here is, Ibraha, a devotee becomes blinded to material reality, a devotee becomes blinded even to spiritual reality. How even to spiritual reality? That we know in the Gopi, in the Raspila, and the gopis were searching for Krishna. In the distance they saw a bluish huge personality. As they were delighted and they ran towards that personality. And then they saw that personality had four arms. And it was Narayana. And they were heartbroken. Now, for devotees, if they get the darshan of Vishnu, their hearts become elevated. But the devotees on seeing Vishnu were heartbroken. And they offered obeisance and they asked him, please tell me, have you seen Krishna? Please tell me, where is Krishna? And, you know, Krishna just pointed. Krishna, you know, he knew he couldn't mask his voice. He could mask his form, but he couldn't mask his voice. So if he spoke, then the gopis said, this is Krishna, this is not Narayana. So he just pointed. And the gopis ran in that direction. And actually Radharani was behind all the gopis. She was searching everywhere, she was so grief-struck. And Radharani came last over there. When she came over there and she saw, he offered obeisance and he says, please tell me, where is my Krishna? And Krishna wanted to point similarly with his two hands. But the love of Radharani was so great, and that love was a spontaneous reciprocation from within the heart of Krishna, that two extra hands disappeared. And he was trying to point, and he couldn't point, and there was Krishna in front of him. And Radharani saw her beloved Lord. Just as, you know, when Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, or rather Krishna Balaram and Subhadra, when hearing Krishna's pastime, what happened? Their hands disappeared. So their hands became withdrawn. For Jagannath and Baladev, their hands became withdrawn. For Subhadra, their hands disappeared completely. The same thing happened to Vishnu, or rather to Krishna who was in the form of Vishnu. So the devotee is blind. He is blind even to spiritual happiness. So darshan of Vishnu is a great spiritual happiness. We see how Dhruva Maharaj gets so ecstatic when he has darshan of Vishnu. But for the devotees, the prati raso bhavendi raha, that he becomes completely blind. It is one-pointed. It is not directed, distracted with anything else. And of course, that is for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Even for Vaishnavas, they become indifference to the different to the spiritual happiness of liberation. As Prabhupada says, Kaivalya Narakaya. It's like hell. And Padayor Vyasanardhanaha. Vyasan means distresses. Ardhanaha. Ardhana means to destroy. So, the service to your lotus feet, what happens? It destroys all the vyasana. It destroys all the distresses. Now interestingly, the word, yes, there are many words
which are common in, say, Sanskrit and the vernacular languages of India, like Hindi or Marathi or Bengali. But often, due to the passage of time, the words remain the same, but their meanings become different. Just like Rag in Hindi means anger, Rag in Sanskrit means attachment. Now they are related because one Rag leads to the other Rag. And if you are attached, you will become angry sooner or later. Similarly, in Sanskrit, the word Vyasan means distress. In Hindi, Vyasan means bad habits. So they are related because bad habits lead to distress. So there are Vyasan Mukti, there are programs to remove Vyasanas, to remove bad habits. Vyasan Ardhanaha, that actually the distresses get removed. How do the distresses get removed? Because when one serves the Supreme Lord, that Vatira Soho, that gives a higher taste, a higher happiness. And that higher happiness frees one from the lower desires. And when the lower desires go away, then automatically the sinful reactions which come as a result of those activities impelled by the lower desires, the sinful reactions also go away. And then one becomes free from misery. And of course, even before that, if the lower desires go away, then also the Kadyuga becomes free from misery. Because the desires themselves create so much agitation of the mind. The desires, when they material desires, they create so much distress. And that's why in the chapter on Tengla, and I think the 8th chapter of the 11th canto of Uddhava Gita, so there, Asha hi paramam dukkham, nirasha paramam sukham. Desire is the root cause of the greatest misery. And freedom from desire is the greatest joy. Now again, here's another word, nirasha. Nirasha in Hindi or Marathi means dejected, disappointed, hopeless. It has a very negative connotation. But nirasha in Sanskrit has a very positive connotation. Liberation from desires. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, nirashir nirmamo bhutva jasva vikalpa jara. Krishna says in 3.5, nirasha, become free from desire. Now, actually Arjuna is already nirash. Oh, I don't want to fight. And Krishna says, become nirash. But the two nirash are different. So like that, Krishna will become free from all these things. And then, in the next verse, after today's verse, we will just discuss that briefly. He is describing the rarity of the associative devotees. Durapaya alpatapasa. Durapa means very rare. Alpatapasa. That those who have performed very little tapasya, for them, seva vaikuntha vartamasu. Those who are on the path of vaikuntha, vartama is path. Seva vaikuntha vartamasu. That the service to those who are on the path of vaikuntha, yatropriyate nityam deva devo janardanaha. That in that, what the souls who are on the path of vaikuntha do? Upagiyate nityam. They are constantly glorifying. What? Deva devo janardanaha. So, janardanaha, one who destroys the misery of the janas. Deva devo, he is the lord of all lords. So, that service is very rare. So, service to devotees who are dedicated to the Supreme Lord is very rare. And if we get that service, we should cherish that opportunity of service. Now, interestingly, what does Vidura do after this? He says, okay, service to the devotees is very rare. Now, I should serve the devotees. And does he go? Okay, does he go to some other pilgrimage to find some devotees to serve? Now, how does he? He says, okay, Maitreya, you are my spiritual master, and I want to serve you. But how will I serve you? By hearing from you. And after glorifying service, what does he do? He starts asking a series of questions. In fact, after this, the questions will be about the structure of the universe, the layers in the universe, the levels and layers within the universe. Quite intricate questions. So, now he is glorifying service. But what service is he doing? He is doing the service of hearing. So, hearing itself is a service. You know, there are some devotees within ISKCON, those are a little more intellectually oriented. Many times they start feeling that Prabhupada always gives very basic things. Prabhupada doesn't teach anything deeper. So, therefore we should read Kriya Sacharya's books, we should go to those who have read Kriya Sacharya's books. And there's nothing wrong in reading Kriya Sacharya's books. Prabhupada himself recommended that we should read Kriya Sacharya's books. But that should not be with the idea that Prabhupada is not giving us enough. Prabhupada has given us everything, but Prabhupada never said that, no, you should not read Kriya Sacharya's books. So we should have a proper attitude. So Radharma, many devotees keep asking me this, because I also, I'm considered sort of intellectually oriented. So I asked Radhanand Maharaj this question. So Maharaj gave a beautiful answer. So I had asked many devotees, had asked this question, many senior Vaishnavas, and the general answer of most senior Vaishnavas is that actually Prabhupada's books contain many deep things, but you have to go deep to read them. So Radhanand Maharaj gave a beautiful answer. He said that our primary motivation for reading Srila Prabhupada's books should be to serve Srila Prabhupada. To express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for all that he has given us. And now Prabhupada is not there on the planet, and none of us can serve Srila Prabhupada directly. Even when he was there, we could not serve him physically much. So for us, the only direct service to Srila Prabhupada is reading his books. So he says, you read Prabhupada's books, not because you want some intellectual gratification, you read it to express your gratitude for Prabhupada. And then Maharaj said, if you read with this attitude, you will find all that is hidden in Prabhupada's books. It will come out. And you will see how Prabhupada's books are pregnant with meaning. So therefore, hearing is itself a very valuable and important service. Of course, hearing is not the only service. After hearing, you will apply. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada had time for a morning class, and then either Bhagavad Gita class or Brahmachari class, and then he would just go out and preach. So preaching is also a service. And through these services, the service of hearing, but the important thing is, if we don't do the service of hearing, the other activities, they will not remain a service. They will just either become work or they will become ambition. The work, because somebody is telling me, so I have to do it. It becomes work, it becomes a burden. Or if I am doing it, because it's my ambition, then both will become materialistic. So burden is in tamoguna and ambition is in rajoguna. But when we hear, when we do the service of hearing properly, and then we render other services, then we will be able to do those services in a service attitude, in the mode of goodness, and then this combination of hearing and service will raise us to transcendence. One day, we will also come to this stage, prati rasa bhaveti da. We will also develop intense attraction to Krishna, and when that attraction develops, then vyasanardhanaha, all the distresses will go away. So I quickly summarize. We started by discussing the theme of from knowledge to realization through service. So we started how those in ignorance and those in transcendence are happy. But the two happinesses are different. Ignorance happiness is temporary, transcendent happiness is eternal. And all material happiness, including the happiness from sports like cricket, is just a relief from a self-created misery. It's not actually positive happiness. And then the 18th verse described how we can rise, even if we are intellectually convinced, we become intellectually convinced by hearing, and then when we are into service, by that we get realization. And then we discuss this particular verse elaborately about how, what happens by service. By service to the spiritual master, we develop a relationship with Krishna. And then rati raso bhaveti, we discuss about tivra, a devotee becomes blind to everything material, and a devotee becomes blind to everything spiritual. Just becomes focused only on Krishna, means sayat mitabhati. And then we discussed, then concluding, about how hearing itself is a service. And hearing, along with other service in their balance, they save us from the modes of passion and ignorance and keep us in goodness and help us rise beyond transcendence. Thank you very much. Grantra Srila Bhakti Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Gaur Prema.